We are in the book of Genesis. We're studying the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. We're into a lesson called the New Earth. And we'll be in Genesis 7 and 8 this morning. We are thankful for this wonderful book of Genesis. God does not desire for his children to be ignorant. You know, one of the things that you as a parent it's automatic for a parent not to want their children to be ignorant. So they try to see to it that their children learn things, that they gain knowledge, they gain wisdom. And we're so thankful that God gives us this wonderful holy book that we can study to gain wisdom, to gain knowledge. And we're thankful for the book of Genesis. Now, we ended our lesson last week from Genesis 6 and 7 passages. We learned that our God does nothing in vain. You know, we do a lot of things in vain. Our life is full of vanity, and we do things that are purposeless, but God does nothing in vain. God does nothing purposeless. God is a creator for a purpose. And one thing I've learned from God and God's Word is that He will not have that purpose thwarted by any part of His creation. For there are no other creators. There's only one creator. There's not a group of creators, but there's only one creator. And everything was created by His hand, created to serve Him. And God will not have interference in that creation, and His purposes will be in effect. And you know, I learned from that principle that even if it takes the destruction of the earth as it was known during Noah's time, our God will do so in order for His purposes to be accomplished. Can you imagine creating the earth and then saying, I am going to destroy the earth, I'm going to flood the earth, but that's what our Creator did, for He will not have His purposes thwarted. Now, God placed a garden in Eden that He intended to have forever, and that action will indeed be realized, even if it takes thousands of years to accomplish. There will be a Garden of Eden, for God has so established it, and it will be so. And to aid in this accomplishment, God had a man, singular man, He called just. He called this man just. He looked down and He saw a man, and He said, that man is just. And He also said that man is perfect in his generation, and that man is a man that desires to walk with me. You know, God chose to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. Now, that's a lesson for all of us. We are supposed to walk with God. Our daily walk should be with God, and that's what God desires. So He told that man his purposes. He revealed to Noah what was to take place. He told that man that enough was enough. He had it up to here. That's why we would say it. He had it up to here. I can't stand what I am seeing on this earth. The earth is filled with violence. The rottenness of corruption fills my nostrils, and the stink was past correction. You know, there comes a time when you cannot correct things. There's an old saying that says, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's men, what? Couldn't put him back together again. There are some things you cannot put back together again. Drop an egg on the floor. Can you put it back together again? No, it's gone. You take it and throw it in the trash. And that's what God chose to do with the old earth. So in Genesis 6:13, God says to Noah, this just man, this perfect man, the end of all flesh is come before me, For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now that's what God came to. He looked upon the earth and there was nothing good. There was nothing right. All things were poor. All things were corrupt. There was violence everywhere. Kind of smells like today, does it not? But all flesh did not include Noah. Noah was accepted, for God had promised us a deliverer, and that deliverer was to be a man from the line of Eve, and that man, Christ Jesus, was coming. And there had to be a line toward that man, and that line was preserved by this man, Noah, that just and perfect man. For that line ran through this man, Noah, whom God chose to preserve for that purpose. So God took Noah aside, and he said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. And it's an enormous ark. It's an enormous building project by God, an assignment never equaled or surpassed. It's a job for a civil engineer. I know, I got one over there. But he was commanded to build an ark measuring 450 feet in length, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high, a vessel foretelling a Savior to come. This was a vessel foretelling Christ, the ark. Oh, how few got on the ark. How narrow is the way, and how few there be that find it. You know, look at this group here, and look at that group out there. Did you see them playing on the way here? Did you see them mowing the grass? Did you see them driving to their pleasure spots? Oh, how few there be that find it. But the ark declared to all that it alone was the Savior from the flood, again foretelling the message of the Savior to come, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is an absolute. We don't dicker on that. We don't make deals on that. We don't have wiggle room on that. That's an absolute. You can't come to God except through Jesus Christ. So the ark, ordered by God and provided for by him, was built to save both man and animals. God looked around and he loved his creatures. He made those creatures. Oh, how wonderful those creatures are. You look at some of them and you see God's sense of humor. The giraffe. Who needs a giraffe? Oh, wouldn't you love to have one for a pet? They could trim the trees underneath. The hippopotamus. But God loved those animals and he saved them also. We are told in chapter 7, verse 6, that Noah was 600 years old when God let the floodwaters loose. That's 10 times Kevin's age. See, you got to be keeping on working. Be a Noah. I'm talking to myself too, and I'm getting tired. But Noah had been faithful in fulfilling God's direction for the ark. Now, there were no change orders on this ark, no increases or decreases in the dimensions of the ark, no floor plan changes required, and Noah's wife, believe it or not, was content to let Noah build the ark according to God's direction, which is a miracle in itself, I must say. You know, most wives would come out and say, well, now, why is that room so big and this room so small? Where's the kitchen? Do you have granite countertops and stainless steel and open concept? No. It was rooms for all the little animals to come. So she was content, praise the Lord. So the time of judgment had come. You know, God had been long-suffering for a century while this ark was a building. as the corrupt people of the earth had seen this great ark in building and had been given 100 years to repent, but none were found, but Noah, his wife, and their 3 sons and their wives, 8 souls in all. So one day, Noah was told, go on in the ark and bring your family. So Noah obeyed, and it was God who shut the door. You know, God decides when the last one is saved. God will say, there's the narrow way. Who's the last one on the narrow way? Shut the door, as he did with Noah's ark. God decides the hour of judgment, and there is nothing man can do to change God's timing, for no man knoweth the day nor the hour. Do you know the day nor the hour? No. We're supposed to occupy till he come. We're supposed to be busy about the work of God, the cause of Christ, until he come. We're not to say, well, he's coming next week, I think I'll just sit around. No, we're supposed to occupy until he comes. But judgment day came, and it began with simple raindrops. And people looked around and said, what meaneth these water drops? We've never seen these before. For the earth at that time was watered with a mist, the Bible tells us. But simple raindrops, but raindrops which would progress into torrents of rain, like we had last night. 3.5 inches of rain last night. Did you feel it on, you know, most houses today are so solid and so closed, everybody's sleeping. But the winds and the rain were torrents last night. But not like this time. Oh, it was terrible. The earth's mist canopy fell into the earth as a driving blanket. God said, drop, canopy mist, and it dropped in obedience to God's word. You know, all nature is obedient to God's word, except this creature. But not only rain, the fountains of the deep were opened, as we read from Genesis 7:11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, God gives you the date. You know, how detailed can you get, flood disbelievers? But in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. You know, God can close the canyons of the oceans, and the oceans will rise 1,000 feet. He can do that just by snapping his fingers and closing the canyons, and the earth is covered with water. Water from above and water from below. For God had decreed that all life upon the earth would be destroyed. So the number 40 enters Scripture here, and that number will appear many times, for it is the number of testing, 40 days and 40 nights. From the children of Israel in the wilderness to Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, that number 40 shows that testing and trials and probation are associated with the number 40. Now we continue reading in Genesis 7, 17 through 24. They're in the ark. All they can do is look up through the window in the roof. So we continue reading there. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. No leaks in the ark. It was covered inside and out with pitch. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went up upon the face of the waters, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. Oh, it was a horrible time, but it was God's will. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So the judgment of God was complete. So we had a new beginning. God was looking for a new beginning of the earth with only 8 souls. And he decreed to fulfill his promise in preserving the righteous line. Read the scriptures and see that promise fulfilled toward Christ. Christ is the target. Christ is where the line aims for. The only one at the end. The earth was washed. Notice how corrupt the earth was. Notice the stink of the earth. But now the earth was washed and cleansed. Violence had ceased. Wars had ceased. Murders between brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers had ceased. And the stink of corruption had ended. So 5 months after the flood began, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. People have been looking for that ark for all these years, and people say, I found it. I don't know who found it, but it's there somewhere. You read of this in Genesis 8:4, and the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. Now, notice this. The flood began on the 17th day of the 2nd month, and the ark rested upon the mountains of Ararat on the 17th day of the 7th month, 5 months to the day. God was careful in giving us these calendar dates so that 5 would be emphasized, for the number 5 is the number symbolizing grace in the Bible. Oh, how grace is so important to us. God's grace. You know, I love God's mercy, but I love God's grace. Because God's grace allows me to enter into his presence through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the number 5 is the number symbolizing grace in the Bible. You know, God could have completely destroyed the world. He could have just wiped off the world, the whole world, and there would be no memory. No human memory would be left. And he could have said, well, I'm just going to start over. And we would have never been born. We would have never had the opportunity to enter into a relationship with that God who preserved that line through Noah. But at the end of 5 months, his grace provided Noah with a new beginning, a new direction toward fulfilling the purpose of God. What did I say about the purpose of God? It will be accomplished. So now Noah and his family were in the waiting mode. They still had to feed the animals. They had to take care of all of the little animals, the big animals, and feed all of those and caretake all those animals and caretake themselves. So they were in a waiting mode, for after finding a resting place in the mountains of Ararat, the receding of the waters took more months, until we find that this small body of pioneers were on the ark a little more than a year. And upon leaving the ark, we read this in Genesis 8, 20 through 22. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Remember, there were seven each of the clean beasts. And this was one of the reasons for having more. And Noah took those and sacrificed them on the altar. And now this next verse should warm your heart. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Oh, the Lord smelled the stink of the earth prior to the flood. And it filled his nostrils, and he couldn't take it anymore, and said, enough is enough. But now his nostrils are filled with the savor of the sacrifice of Noah. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. And here's a promise of God. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So Noah alights from the ark, sets his foot upon the new earth. The ark is now grounded. The door is opened. He sets his foot upon the new earth, and his first act was to take of his precious cargo. They'd been in that ark for a year, knew all the animals. And now he takes from that precious cargo very, very rare animals and fowl, and he offers sacrifices to God. His allegiance is to God. He loves those animals, but his first allegiance is to God. And this was indeed the act of a man of faith, for God had provided, and if needed, Noah knew God would provide again. If God created those animals in the first case, he could create them again. So Noah acted in faith. You know, try to imagine Noah's heart as he contemplated what had just happened. All of his acquaintances, all of his neighbors, perhaps he had grandchildren that were gone. The earth was empty. What did he contemplate in his heart? For he and his small band were now the only people and animals left upon the earth. For God had extended great grace to this man of faith, a man who pleased God. My, how you need to please God. You know, you say, well, I want to please my husband. I want to please my wife. But do you want to please God? That's where your allegiance is. That's where your first allegiance is. Yes, if you want to please God, you'll please those others. But the stink of the fouled earth was gone, and in its place a sweet savor from the sacrifices of Noah rose up to the nostrils of God, and God said in his heart, he would not again smite the earth in such fashion as this was, for in Genesis 8:22, God declares, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, how many thousands of years have we passed from Noah's day, and this is still true, for God made this promise. Now, in this promise is an interesting aside, for God said this, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. So here in this statement, in this conclusion of God, we see that the flood is not going to solve the problem of man's heart. It's not going to do it. God can have flood after flood after flood after flood, but the result is the same heart. God states clearly that the flood does not change the heart, and what took place before the flood will again take place after the flood. Jesus spoke of this to us in Matthew 24, 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And then Jesus said this, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What happened to the heart? Nothing. Nothing happened to the heart because of the flood. The flood was only a temporary solution, for if not executed by God, man would have self-destructed, and Satan's purpose to cut off the righteous line would succeed. But God had a man of faith. You know, God knows that what is needed is a new man, not a continual destruction of man. So he makes this promise. So the flood has done its duty. A flood judgment will be used no more, for God's plan is to change the heart of man that sin will no longer abound. You know, we know from our New Testament that God's Spirit indwells the heart of those who believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And in that verse is the promise that God's Spirit will indwell the heart. And you'll be given a new heart, a heart that pleases God, a heart of faith. And sin will be banished and be placed under the blood of God's sent one, the promised deliverer, the Messiah, the Son of God. You know, God's plan is for men to become new creatures, to dwell in a new heaven and a new earth. And that is stated by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, I love God's therefores. You know, you ought to have therefores in your life, not whatevers. You should have therefores. Get rid of the whatevers, conclusions to the matter, principles that you live upon, things that you'll die for. And the Apostle Paul says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I will attest to that. When I trusted Christ, the next day I looked around and things were different. Things were different. I was a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Old things had passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why do you want to hold on to all those old things that rot and stink in the nostrils of God when you can have a new heart and serve God with that heart? So the flood was used by God to accomplish a purpose, and that purpose was to bring forth sons of God, sinless sons conformed to his Son, sons to enjoy his presence for all eternity. You can become a son of God because of Christ. And you know, God marks that promise with every rainbow given to man, for every rainbow comforts us that the earth will never again be flooded. Are you reminded when you see the rainbows of God's promises, or do you just say, isn't that lovely? Think a little deeper and think about God's word when you look at his creation and the rainbows of his creation. So the purpose of the flood was twofold, as the purpose of the gospel is twofold, one of salvation, one of condemnation. You know, when our pastor preaches the gospel, he's preaching a message of salvation. He's also preaching a message of condemnation. Those that will choose to go on the broad way and those that will choose to go on the narrow way. One of judgment, one of grace. In many ways, the people of Noah's day experienced on a daily basis the grace of God, for it was not until after 120 years after the revelation of a judgment that that judgment actually came upon men, and it showed that God is indeed long-suffering. You know, here in our time, when we look around and we see the violence, we see all the sin and immorality taking place, we say, how long, O Lord, how long? For we long for the kingdom. And God says to us from his long-suffering heart, be patient, for I am patient and not willing that any should perish. That's our God's heart. You know, we think about our own selves and our own comfort and our own welfare, but God thinks about all the welfare of man. God's patience does have a season, though. For all of Noah's day, save 8 souls, were indifferent to God's grace, and therefore they chose judgment. Did they even consider that God cared? Did they look around at the creation and see God's care in everything that they saw? But Noah knew that God cared, for he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, as later we know that Abraham would also follow. You know, Noah recognized the grace of God, and he walked with God. That's what recognizing the grace of God will do. It will bring you to walk with God. And Noah had an intimate relationship with God and therefore obeyed God, for he knew God's love and that all things God commanded only brought good. You know, the scriptures give nothing negative about Noah's response to God's command to build an ark. Could you be so understanding? God taps you on the shoulder and says, I want you to build an ark 450 feet long and 75 feet wide and 45 feet deep. Most of us would say, are you talking to me? Who, me? I can't do that. But there was no negative response, because one who walks with God knows that the command to build an immense watercraft must be for good, For Noah knew that all things work together for good to those who love God. You know, I think about my own life and the blessings that God has given me in my own life. Oh, everything works together for good to those who love God. And I love God. I try to love God. I tell God I love Him daily, many times. And I want to walk with God. So when God commands, what are we to do? We are to simply obey. If God commands us to do something that we think outrageous or strange or beyond our means, we simply obey and take that first step. So God, who gave the people of Noah's day 120 years before judgment, now promises this: while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. So those who come thousands of years after Noah are given to contemplate the grace of God, and in that contemplation, to know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But without that new heart, without that new man, sin remains. And the question asked by those who perished in the flood is still being asked, as we read in 2 Peter 3:3-7. This is still being asked. The same questions were asked, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Have you met any scoffers lately? Well, if you witness, you'll meet scoffers. People that don't believe and can't understand. They've grasped the intellect of the world and held on to that, and it's blinded them from the truth. So they're scoffers, and they walk after their own lusts. Not asking God for direction, but seeking direction from others and from the culture. So they say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know, you can say to those questions, no to that. For Noah says, remember the flood. For all things did not continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, for there came a day of judgment. You know, people will say everything is delightful, everything is the same, nothing will change, but they only see this much of life. But God sees it all, and He knows there's a day of judgment, as there was in the day of Noah. Father, we are thankful for the warning of Scripture. Things don't remain the same. Your promises will always come about. Your promises will always be executed. You've given us a Savior, and that Savior will bring judgment, but He will also bring salvation to those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for our services this morning. Bless our pastor as he imparts to us the blessed Word of God. And bless the services this afternoon as we honor these graduates and send them forth. We pray that they might be in the arms of Christ. For we ask it in His name. Amen.